24-hour crisis line, or you need to call at certain times?
This line is open during business hours. Calls are returned during normal business hours. We do refer out to call to safety and other emergency lines. It's not meant as an emergency line. It's meant as a line to call to be evaluated for eligibility for services.
And I hear that you offer services in English, Spanish, and Arabic.
And also Mandarin Chinese. We offer services in several different languages, and we have outreach materials in 23 languages, including K'iche and Mam, which are languages from Guatemala, which is fairly common in our agricultural sectors.
Mayan languages, by the way, people may not know it, but the Mayan language group, you know, there's 52 different Mayan languages, which is, thank you. You know, I work often as in the language service business, and it's, you know, we really need to provide the services in the Mayan languages, you know, especially as we are seeing a new demographic in our, you know, in our areas of influence, in the areas where we work. I'd like to ask one more question to Brandy, and then we'll go into the issues of entrepreneurship, immigration, you know, and then we'll start, you know, going back and forth between the two, you know, the two areas, which are all important. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, Brandy, is if this service is for women only or for all genders?
We provide services to all genders because human trafficking, even sex trafficking, is not limited to just one gender. All genders are at risk and all genders are victimized. Often we see that even with in labor trafficking, there tends to be more male victims, but they still exist in both labor and sex trafficking. Often there are additional barriers for men to come forward. And so it's something that it's less visible, but it 100% is happening.
So let's say that somebody, you know, a man who finds, you know, I used to work in the past as a paralegal with, you know, working with civil rights and labor. And I remember this famous case where they found a number of men that had been trafficked. And then they were forced to work in the fields, and they were living, you know, basically in a tunnel, where they set a few planks of plywood, and people were living there, and people were so desperate, you know, and this was in the Clackamas, you know, in the Clackamas area, people were so desperate that they say they would see a police and they say, arrest us, we need to get out of here, and so. I know that it's really, really difficult to understand, but recently there was also a case of Thai workers living in indentured servitude in the same way. And so is this a line where people trying to get out from labor trafficking could get to, or it's primarily for sex and labor trafficking?
So. If someone has concern about a labor violation, definitely they should reach out to the Department of Labor. They can also reach out to ERCO because we have a partnership with them. There are protections. It doesn't matter if you are documented or not. There are labor protections for every person. And if those protections are being violated, there are remedies through the OSHA, which is the Oregon Safety and Hazard, and then Department of Labor. So people sometimes don't even know that they are being trafficked or trafficking people. For example, if you bring somebody from another country to live in your house and to clean your house and to take care of your kids, but now that's okay. But now if they're not allowed to leave, now if they're not getting compensation, now if they don't have their documents, now if they don't have the freedom, now that becomes trafficking. And so people can inadvertently traffic their grandmothers or their family members and not know it. Another thing that looks like somebody would like to come to the United States and has found a way across, once they get across, the price multiplies by 10 or more. And now they have to provide sexual services and money to pay back. And that person that they owe money may have deeds to their land back in their home country. They may know their family. They may be threatening their family. It's a very difficult situation, especially for immigrant refugees, because of the extra barriers related to maybe not knowing as much the legal system, rights, and being afraid, of course, and documentation and language barriers as well.
Yes, it's a really complex problem. I heard not so long ago about a case where it was like a complete circle of exploitation, where women were being basically put across the border and then made to work in illegal farming, marijuana farming, and exploited sexually. And so it was like a big thing that opened up. You know, unfortunately, I have heard of these cases, even 10 years before, from cases that I had, you know, that I had heard of about, you know, in the field of people who were able to escape the, you know, this conditions of indentured servitude in every way, you know. So the what I like to say is that it's really, really important to know that people have rights, have labor rights, and that there's resources. And speaking about that, I'd like to ask you, before we go to cover the issues of, you know, because everything, it's like a big spider web where, you know, civil rights are part of it, and, you know, being in touch with the community is part of it. And we're going to be talking a lot more with Cecilia from LULAC, Oregon, about this. And I'd like to ask you here, what type of, how soon, if you were to be able to get on the phone with your program, can people expect a call the same day, or usually how long does it take to get a call?
So it depends. When we use the hotline, this hotline reaches a person who's a screener who will take your information. If there are indicators that there may be trafficking, and then the program, it will be referred to my program, and then I will do a eligibility screen. Usually we are in contact within 3 business days with the person to let them know if they will be further screened or other resources that might be appropriate for them.
Thank you. And I can imagine that you handle a lot of those calls since you're a polyglot anyway. You speak all those 4 languages, right? Yeah, Spanish, English, Spanish, Mandarin, and Arabic.
My Arabic is not great.
No. Well, but you have all of the incredible resources of the International Language Bank over there at ERCO. Sending kudos to all of them, and thank you for the certification processes that are available and the employment processes that are available through ERCO in benefiting all of our communities. We're going to come back. We're going to listen to... We're going to come back in a minute to talk some more about ERCO and this program. And I was wondering if you could think about a case involving domestic workers, you know, which is a hot issue right now in our country, you know, as we are seeing a lot of people coming in and then, you know, being part of the community. But for right now, we're going to listen to music from the records that we have in this incredible library that we have. And today, sending kudos to Asia Hawthorne, our incredible engineer today. Yay, yay! For International Women's Day, IWD 2024, Portland, Oregon. Woo! All right.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome again to the special programming on International Women's Day 2024, Portland, Oregon. And it's a pleasure being here in this special programming, talking about women and women in general and all types of women. And today, my name is Yvonne Rivero. I am a guest host today in this programming in the morning, and doing this, the kind of things that we do at Diaspora. Every other Tuesday, I share with Spiral Radio, Radio Spiral. On Tuesdays, this is a programming that we've been holding here in KBOO every Tuesday. And then we also have other programming, really, really nice, starting at noon every Sunday as well. Listen to us, turn to KBOO 90.7 FM. And KBOO.fm. Today, it's my pleasure having here two incredible women. We have Cecilia Giron from LULAC, Oregon. And we had the pleasure of talking already to Brandy Radatti from IRCO. She is the manager of Survivor Services.
Human Trafficking Services.
This information, you can find it at KBOO.fm in the podcast that is going to be available the moment, within 15 minutes after we're done here in the air. Thank you so much. And so now we are passing the baton to our compañera, Cecilia Giron. Cecilia, bienvenida. Welcome.
Thank you, Yvonne. I just want to share a little bit about what LULAC LULAC stands for League of United Latin American Citizens, and what is our mission. The mission of LULAC is to advance the economic condition, education attainment, political influence, housing, health, and civil rights of the Hispanic population in the United States. As I mentioned before, LULAC was founded in 1929, and part of this work became grassroots. And the reason why is, and part of the history of LULAC is that there were members in the community that were experiencing different issues with segregation, discrimination, and that was something that our community in different areas of part of the country were experiencing. And so people from the community started gathering and started doing advocacy, and that's when LULAC was founded in 1929. And LULAC has been one of the oldest organization, the Hispanic organization, that it's been advocating in civil rights for 95 years. I would like to also share a little bit about, in 1949, California, one LULAC council in California successfully sued the integrate the Orange County school system, because at that era segregated children, especially Mexican children, children were more poorly clothed, and it was very, they were experiencing different discrimination in the school system. And they brought in 1959, LULAC brought another landmark case that really show the path to not having our schools segregated. And this happened in 1954, Hernandez versus the state of Texas. And to protect the fact that the Mexican Americans had never been called to jury as well, jury duty in the state of Texas, the Supreme Court ruled this exclusion unconstitutional. And so, those are just some examples that how LULAC is being active, engaged, and involved in really doing that advocacy and advocating for the rights of our Latino community across our country. And right now we have councils throughout the United States. So if people want to learn more about the work that LULAC does and how they can be involved, they can look us up. We have a website, lulac.org, which is our national website. And we have our website here local in the state of Oregon, lulacoregon.org. And you can be part of LULAC as a member of LULAC at large, or you can create your own council in your local communities. And we have different programs that we have throughout the United States, empowering women, technology programs, leadership programs, health, housing, civic participation, civic engagement, and voting. We're also working on issues of immigration and economic opportunities. And if you are interested, you can reach us either through follow in our social media platforms. We're in Facebook, Instagram, or through our website, lulac.org.
L-U-L-A-C.
LULAC. And LULAC stands for the League of United Latin American Citizens.
Right. And then you have a chapter here in Oregon. How can people reach you?
They can go to our website, lulacoregon.org, and they can send us an email and we will reach back to them. We also have different events coming up. One is the coming up, our Borden Symposium, which will happen on April 27. We have a calendar that you also can check what events are coming up local. And today we're going to have commemorating Women's International Day, which we want to inspire other Latinas to be involved, to be engaged in civic engagement, as well as celebrating those women that have built those bridges for us to be here, and also those women that are right now working for civil rights issues, advocacy work in their local communities and around the world. It starts at 5 p.m. and you also will have more information in our lulacoregon.org website. 5 o'clock today.
LULAC, so is this a Zoom event? Is this a webinar?
It's a Zoom event. We're going to have four Latina leaders in our community that are going to be part of a panel, and we'll be talking about education issues and women empowering, inspiring the next generation of our Latinas to be engaged, be involved, and follow their dreams, inspire the next generation of our Latina leaders.
Yes, I was looking at the publication that was, you were recently in D.C.
Yes.
And I was looking at the publication, and I was just amazed at looking at the sponsors, you know, people who were there, you know. I'm trying to remember the name of the mayor, the senator for El Paso. What's his name? He was there. Because he's been ever since there was the massacre at the Walmart there in El Paso. He's been advocating because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody forgot, you know, and in the next 2 days. But this is a terrible attack that happened on our community that was never really here in the West Coast. I covered the issue. I covered it in the Tuesday and then the Sunday programming. But then we never heard about it. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it was a tremendous attack, you know, and it was not just Latino targeted. You know, there were members of the other communities of El Paso who died as well, you know. And it's just terrible. You know, it's unconscious that we can see these things, this level of destruction happening in our communities. And I really worry, you know, that the political, you know, that the political landscape that we are seeing, that this type of thing is going to continue happening. And so it is, I think, absolutely important that we are galvanized to be part of the system, you know, the electoral system. And I don't know if you, we only have 8 more minutes left. So I would like to briefly cover whatever you have on both sides, you know, both the national, Latino engagement and advocacy. And you, Brandy, looking at the perspectives of what is happening to so many, many women of all nationalities, all backgrounds, because unfortunately, you know, in our state, we hear this is not just something that happens to immigrants and refugees. It is happening on the local level as well. I have met through other parts of my work, people who have survived, you know, people who were just being happy, you know, in their communities, and all of a sudden they ended up, you know, in the East Coast, without even knowing about it. You know, I wish we had some more time to go deeper into, you know, analyzing some of these cases, you know, and bringing more people to bring their testimony. You know, unfortunately, we don't have all the spaces all the time. So for me, it is really, really a great opportunity being here, talking about all of these things that may be difficult, but it's really, really important that we face them. So who wants to go first? Brandy.
Yeah. So I just wanted, because today is International Women's Day, although that we provide services to men and women, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how human trafficking affects women specifically and female identified folks. One thing is people choose to do sex work, and human trafficking does not only affect immigrant refugees and BIPOC, also affects mainstream. There's no socioeconomic class or race or language that would prevent you from being at risk. Some people choose sex work, and that does not mean necessarily that they're being trafficked. However, if someone is doing sex work under the age of 18, that is called trafficking, regardless if there is a trafficker or not. That is a crime that the child is a victim of. When it comes to trafficking, often women are not able to be educated. They're not able to learn to read and write. Of course, reproductive coercion. Of course, being threatened with your children or with the shame of telling your community or your family what you've done or what you're doing. Getting you hooked on drugs, offering you some or forcing you to take them until you're addicted, and now you are absolutely unable to do anything except for what the trafficker is asking you to do. A lot of the legal services for family law, for divorces and custody, are not aware of human trafficking. And so women sometimes find themselves who have been victimized, their children being taken away or given to the trafficker. And so there's a lot of awareness that's needed. There's a lot of tragedy and a lot of difficulty, but there are services available. Also, when you go into places like nail salons where you see people of a particular cultural identity, that does not mean trafficking. That's not helpful to make that assumption. What we're looking for are people who are being exploited, people who are in fear, people who are stuck, people who are being victimized, and who are also wanting to get out. Women and their families for generations, sometimes trafficking can happen for generations. Also within my personal community, the Native American community, we have the MMIW, which is the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, now Missing and Murdered Indigenous People. Because of the human trafficking and the domestic violence within the Native American community that has been largely ignored. Up until 2017, the FBI did not even have a racial category for Native American, for the people who have been women who are missing and murdered. So there are a lot of challenges. And because somebody is not an immigrant, a refugee, or BIPOC does not mean that they are not being trafficked. Also, trafficking can happen from your home. Can be forced, you could be forced to send pictures. You can be forced to be blackmailed to do something because you're afraid. But there are there are supports available and help available.
Thank you. Thank you for being courageous, for being here, for speaking all of the truths that are affecting our women of all ethnicities, including Americans who might assume this is not happening. It's not happening in my block. Because we have so much little time, although we could be here for 3 hours, and I hope that we can have a special to go deeper into these issues. But thank you for mentioning the MMMIA, sending regards to my friend Paulita Peña, who couldn't be here because she's in the hospital. So thank you. Cecilia.
Just want to echo, right, what we've been sharing here, how important and critical is to look for services to, you know, there are organizations that can support, to be involved, to be engaged, to be the voice for those that are not able to raise their voice because of fear, especially our immigrant community that are coming from other countries as refugees, as leaving their country because persecution, of hunger. And just want to say that there are a lot of resources in the community. Sometimes we don't know where those resources are, and therefore we are. I'm here. LULAC, it's national. Join us. We continue to advocate. We have the platform to continue advocating for education, for health, for human rights. And that was the foundation of LULAC, and we continue to that throughout the United States. Reach out, LULAC.org, get involved, get engaged, vote. We're in a critical situation now that we need to be, engaged, involved, and participate in, you know, congratulate and commemorate those women that are valientes or are warriors in our communities.
So. Exactly. Yes.
Que vivan.
Que vivan la mujer, que viva la las mujeres. Bravo.
Viva.
Que vivan. And this has been Yvonne Rivero with Diaspora on this special edition of Women's International Women's Day. Gracias and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shishini.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, and today is International Women's Day. If you haven't heard the news, we're doing 40 hours of all women-centered programming, started last night at around 8 p.m.,